So when a man has nothing to pay with, then he's got the right amount. Let's ask the Lord to bless His Word. Our Father, we bless Thy name, for Thou art the true and the living God, beside whom there is none else, and before whom every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. O Lord, what is man that Thou art mindful of him? And Lord, why should it be that we, who by choice and by action have proved ourselves to be the enemies of God? And why should we, O Lord, be the objects of Thy mercy and grace, except that it did please Thee to love us in Jesus Christ, and that before the foundation of the world? A thing, O Lord, that we cannot fathom. It is beyond the capability of the human mind to grasp. Yet, Lord, Thou hast taught us again and again in Thy Word that these things are true. And we fall upon our faces, O Lord, in adoring wonder and desire to worship Thee in spirit and truth. Lord, to give Thee the praise that's due unto Thy name. And even the angels which surround Thy throne, ceasing not day and night to cry, Holy, Holy, Holy unto Thee, do not exhaust the worship that is due unto Thy name. And how should it be that such creatures as we are, tainted with sin from head to foot, be given the privilege to enter into Thy presence, to fall on our faces, to magnify the name of Christ? Lord, You are worthy of all praise. Oh, that we might be made mindful of that this day, O Lord. We might see that it's not of ourselves that we have anything, but, O Lord, that it is of Thee and Thee alone. Thou art worthy. May the name of Christ be exalted, both here and throughout all the ages to come. Lord, direct our steps this day and give us ears to hear. Lord, we are unable to speak even one word of help unto any except that You give it to us. Lord, that we wait upon You and we magnify Thy name. Thou art worthy. We ask it all in Jesus' name. We'll read several of these verses. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, He said unto His disciples, Ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes, the elders of the people, unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill Him. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto Him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on His head as He sat at meat. But when His disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much, and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, He said unto them, Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon Me. For ye have the poor always with you, but Me ye have not always. For in that she has poured this ointment on My body, she did it for My burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests, and said unto them, What will ye give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. And then in verse 36, Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little farther, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them, and went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples, and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. In verse 49, And forthwith he came to Jesus, speaking of Judas, and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus, and took him. And then in verse 69, Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by, and said to Peter, Surely thou art also one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. When they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned, in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, and departed, and went and hanged himself. And the chief priest took the silver pieces, and said, It is not lawful for to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them a potter's field to bury strangers in. Therefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Now, when we look at the scriptures, and we see the laying out of the redemptive work of Christ, we are, it's inescapable. Though some would deny it, it's inescapable that the God who rules in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth orders all things to occur exactly according to His purpose. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. Because if redemption is not that which is the product of the purpose of God, then it could be open-ended. It could be a possible failure. Some men seem to take delight in that thought. It gives me no comfort whatsoever to consider such a thing. But to know and understand that that which the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to do, He came in with every step marked out beforehand, and every jot and tittle of that design etched in stone. And He says here, when He's speaking to His disciples, "You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified." Now He speaks about the betrayal as though it has already occurred. Yet we find that it is only later, after this incident with the woman that Al spoke about this morning, or mentioned, it was after that that Judas went and made a deal with the Pharisees. But the Lord, saying to His disciples, He said, "The Son of Man is betrayed." You see, God is that one who calls those things that be not as though they were. And He was betrayed from the moment that He came into the world. He laid aside His glory, made Himself no reputation, as we thought about there a moment ago. He put it aside because He was not considered, even by those who knew Him best, that He was of any, He was really of anything. I mean, His brothers said, "Oh, that's just, He's just saying these things. He just said that." And He said, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own house." And it's still true today. It will be true to the dying day. Because you see, the Lord gave the example of it. It is in the heart of man to despise the Word of God. It's in your heart. It's in my heart. It's in the heart of every man that's born of a woman to hate the truth. We hate the truth. I don't like the truth. And I like the truth that I like. You like the truth that you like, don't you? But you see, the truth is not something we really like. We like parts of it. But we don't like to face the real truth. But the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the truth. And so when He says the Son of Man is betrayed, He's speaking a truth. Now, He was betrayed on several levels. The first off was the very people that He came into the world for. He came unto His own, and the Scripture says His own received Him not. He said, "I'm sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." He came among the Jews, His own people, the bloodlines from which He descended as a human being. They rejected Him. They said, "We don't want this man. Give us somebody else, not Him. We want a little religion, but we don't want the religion of Christ." You see, that's what the world says. They say, "Give us time and we'll design our own religion and it'll be just like we want it. And it'll make us happy and we'll feel good about it. And we'll feel good about telling other people about it.
and we'll all get together and we'll pat one another on the back and we'll all say, everything's great. But the Lord said, I came to set the father against the son. I came not to bring peace, but to bring division. Because you see, there's always a dividing line when it comes to Christ. Now, everybody likes the story of the coming of Christ, don't they? I mean, even people in other lands that don't even believe much about Him, they get big time. I mean, Christmas is the biggest thing that ever hits the earth. Everybody loves it. Everybody says, oh, the sweet little Jesus that came and set an example for everybody. But I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus came into the world to set a line of demarcation. He came to set a marker wherein, as He said, there is a broad way that leadeth unto death, but there is a narrow way that leadeth unto life. And He said, few there be that find it. This is the way of Christ. And He said, the Son of Man is betrayed. Now, He was rejected of His own people. He was rejected of His own disciples. Simon Peter. That one, again, you use this scripture a while ago. The one of whom He said, thou art Peter, upon this rock. Now, He wasn't talking about He was going to build the church on Peter. But He said, upon this rock. What? The rock. That is that the faith of Peter. Not Peter's faith personally, but that which is the faith of Peter, which is the same faith that we have. Is it not? It's Christ. See, Christ is our faith. That's the rock upon which the church is built. But Peter, who one minute is saying, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The next minute is saying, when the Lord said, I'm going to be crucified, He said, oh no! No, Lord, we didn't sign up for You to be crucified. We signed up to march on these Romans and destroy them. We're ready. We believe that You're the one. Now the multitude of, there is a multitude, I'm telling you, a multitude, I'm telling you, a multitude of people in the earth today that say and name the name of Christ who do not believe Him. Now it's not enough for a man to say that he is a believer. It's not enough for a man to say that he has joined up and he's this, that, and the other. Those things don't mean anything. Because, dear brethren, if a man is not made new by the work of the Spirit of the living God to cause him to be born again by the power of the living God, it doesn't make any difference what he says with his lips. It doesn't make any difference what he professes to be. It doesn't make any difference what he does. Because you see, even the disciple who was the epitome of that one who walked in faith. I mean, how many of them got out of the boat? Only one. How many of them pulled out a sword and was ready to kill somebody when they came to take him in the garden? Who? One. Peter. But I'm telling you, the Lord had to show Peter that it was not by an act of his ability. It was not by an act of what he knew in his head. It was not by his desire. It was not by his sincerity. He said, Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. How did he become converted? Only by the grace of God. And dear brethren, that's the only way it happens today.
And only in this song, it says, grace, through grace they loved Him as a king. So through grace, they got him back.
Absolutely. All by grace. And so Peter, he denied the Lord. When the Lord told him, the Lord told him, Peter said, Lord, all these others, these bunch of wimps. So I've been around them all this time and I've been suspicious of every one of them. And I believe when the time comes, Lord, they'll turn their back on you. But not me. No, buddy. I'm a deacon. I'm a Sunday school teacher. I'm a this. I'm a that. I've been going to church ever since I was knee high. I can't trust any of these people. Well, if you're not careful, you go to the house and have a Christmas tree in it. They'll do something really dastardly. Lord, you can't trust them. Not me, though. But I'll be with you till the end. And just remember this, the same one that stepped foot out of the boat was the one who, when a little old girl said, I believe you was with Christ. Don't you know him? Oh, no. No, you got me mixed up with somebody else. It wasn't me. Oh, I believe it was. No, and he used some salty language and he said, it wasn't me. He said it with an oath. But I'll tell you what. Oh, there was evidence, dear brethren. There was evidence that God was doing something with Peter. Because when Peter remembered what the Lord said, he went out and he wept bitterly. Because he knew that it was not by might, not by his power, not by his strength, but it was by the grace of God. And he knew that he just demonstrated what he was in the flesh. Now Judas, on the other hand, and this is the one, of course, of whom the Lord spoke, the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. I'm telling you, the actions of wicked men are as much ordained and predestined as are the steps of a righteous man. David steps up to the rooftop to look on Bathsheba were as much marked out and ordained as was the orbit of the planets around the sun. Because you see, God will perform His purpose in the earth. Amen. He will do it. And it'll make men fumble and be, they say, that couldn't be. You know why? Why God, He's only doing the good stuff. The devil's the ones going around doing all the bad stuff. The Lord said that He was in control of all things. And He does use the devil to do certain things. But you better be sure of this, that the steps of the devil is marked out ahead of time. And he can't take one that's not marked out by the Lord. He said, have you thought about Job? Well, the devil hadn't thought about Job. Or if he had, he said, well, I can't do anything to Job. I mean, the Lord's built a hedge around him. He was right. You see, the Lord has built a hedge around His people. And dear brethren, we come here this morning to remember the Lord's death till He comes again. And we believe that He has built a hedge around His people. And this is the hedge.
Amen.
It's the blood and the righteousness of Jesus Christ that surrounds the people of God. And when the Lord said that I am designed to be betrayed, He said the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. He didn't say He might be. Well, this is the plan. This is what we got on mind. But you know, Judas, he might, when it comes down right down to it, he might not be able to make a deal. Or maybe he'll want 30 pieces of silver and he'll get down there to the Pharisees and, you know, they were Jews. He might say to them, wait a minute, we want a better deal than that. No, we're not giving you 30 pieces.
Why was it 30 pieces? I don't have time to read it, but go over there in the book of, well, I will read it. Zechariah chapter 11. And I said unto them, if ye think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price. Whose price? The Lord said they weighed for me my price. I set the price. This is what it'll be. I won't take a penny more and I won't take a penny less. He said it's my price. 30 pieces of silver. Could it have been 29? Could they have made a deal? Could they have sweetened the pot and give him 35? Make it 34. I mean, it's just money. I'm telling you, before ever the wall was in place, 30 pieces of silver was marked out. And just as surely as 30 pieces of silver was marked out, so was those for whom Jesus Christ came into the world to pay the price for sin. You can't have one without the other. If 30 pieces of silver makes a difference, then those for whom Christ went to the cross makes a difference. Does it not? If the number one makes a difference, the number of others got to. If not, it could have been anything. I mean, the prophet could have written this, and it could have turned out to have been wrong. But no, it couldn't turn out to be wrong. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter a goodly price that I was prized at of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver. Look at this. Well, that's not even necessary, was it, that of what all happened to Judas afterwards, and the fact that they bought a potter's field, does that make any difference? I mean, didn't the Pharisees, they just decided to do that? Didn't they? Not according to the prophet. He said, and I took, who took? He said, I took. Speaking as the Lord, I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. The Lord said He did that. He did that. Because you see, what did He do? He purchased a field of blood. Now, brethren, we come here today to remember that the Lord Jesus Christ purchased His people with blood. And though these Pharisees, they bought a field of blood to bury the poor in, oh, the Lord has made a grave for the poor and the needy. And it's in that grave that He said, I will not leave you. But He said, I will come again, that where I am, there ye may be also. Yes, dear brethren, 30 pieces of silver, purchase price of Christ. And He's the one that set the price. He's the one that marked out the one who carried the price. And He said it were better that this man had never been born. What if Judas had changed his mind? He couldn't change his mind. Yeah, brother, and that should cause us to ever fall on our faces before Almighty God. What makes you different than Judas? Only the grace of God. Only thing that causes one man to believe and another not to is the grace of God. It's the mercy of God. Oh, we're thankful that the Lord has given us opportunity to remember the Lord's death till He comes again. And this is not a great elaborate thing, but it is the most important thing that God's people ever gather to do. See, the words of a preacher could be forgotten tomorrow. I'd probably ask you in 10 minutes what I said, and you probably couldn't tell me. Only as the Lord's pleased to apply it to your heart will you ever remember anything. Mm-hmm. But you see, He didn't give us preaching as a memorial to Him, although He said, He sent His disciples into the world to preach the gospel. But He said, here's what I want you to do. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death. You manifest it. You put it on display for men to see. Now, who is this table spread for? It's spread for the children of God. It's spread for those who know themselves to be wicked sinners, unworthy of the least of the Lord's mercy, but who cry out, "Oh Lord,
and praise God for it.
I believe, help thou my unbelief." So who's invited to this table? Those who know Him, those that desire to have a part in that which He has done. Those who believe that what Christ did on Calvary was a work that forever redeemed His people. And those who, by taking, confess that they are unworthy of the least of His mercies, but that He is worthy of all praise. So we invite you to partake of this according to the dictates of your own conscience. But the Scripture does warn men not to take it unworthily. How would a man take it unworthily? I believe there's only one way. And that would be if he thought he was worthy. If he thought somehow or other he had some reason to take it. Well, we don't have any reason, right, or anything else. We don't have any right to take this except that it's been given to us. We can't demand. We can't go up to the government and say, "We got a right to it." No, we don't have a right to it. It's a privilege that's bestowed on the people of God. So if you know yourself to be a sinner in need of Christ, you desire to remember His death till He comes again, then you're invited to take of this table.